Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The International Monetary Fund is warning that Britain's economy will slam into reverse this year as the weight of high energy prices, rising mortgage costs and increased taxes hit households. Even Russia's economy is set to outpace the UK in 2023. Well, I'm joined now by George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. Good morning, George.
Morning.
So the prediction is that the UK is the only leading economy in the G7 expected to slide into recession this year. What's the basis for the IMF saying this?
Well, they've had a look across the board at the British economy, and it's not a particularly pretty picture here at the moment. You've touched on some of the issues. Britain's unusually exposed to high energy prices. We use a lot of gas in our domestic heating. Borrowers are being hit by higher mortgage rates. Interest rates are going up. Some of them affected, by the way, by the higher mortgage rates that came out of the disastrous mini-budget that Liz Truss's government introduced last September. And there's other sort of specific issues, including the labour market here is very tight. Lots of people haven't come back into the labour market since COVID. But of course, lurking in the background, you mentioned it in your introduction, is the B word, Brexit, which obviously is a ball and chain around the ankle of the economy.
Let's talk a bit more about that, because today's a significant day, isn't it? It's the third anniversary of Britain leaving the EU. And the claim from some is that it's just been a drag on investment and on growth.
Yes, I mean, the government's own forecasters say that Brexit in the medium term will cost the British economy about 4% of its GDP. That's the equivalent of about £100 billion a year or £40 billion of tax revenue, which would be sorely needed by some of our public services at the moment. But if you look at other indicators, particularly since the COVID effect is stripped out, for a long time Brexiteers have said, oh, this is all to do with Brexit or this is all to do with the Ukraine war. But you can now start to see a clear difference in the way the British economy is performing compared to some of its European neighbours, particularly on things like investment, and particularly on things like trade, particularly smaller companies, which often find it too complicated or not worth their while to export anymore. And all those things have a cumulative effect. So, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation here. Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, has tried to make the most of it. He put out a press release last night commemorating the third anniversary of Brexit, saying we were exploiting the advantages of it. But if you look at the opinion polls, a lot of the public are starting to get doubts about whether this was such a good idea after all.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see how this is playing out, because there is a reluctance on a political level to talk about this. GB News, which I know is a particular outlook, is running a headline this morning saying, gradually, because of Brexit, we're catching more British fish. Now, if the opinion polls are telling the politicians that they see the wood for the trees, when are the politicians going to be honest about this and talk about the £100 billion loss per year that has been directly caused by Brexit?
Well, there's a specific problem we have over here, which is, as you say, none of the main parties are prepared to talk about it. Conservatives, because, of course, it was their idea and Rishi Sunak was a Brexiteer, so they tried to put the best gloss on it. The Labour Party, which you think might be more inclined to make a fuss about it, are also refusing to go very close to the subject, because about a third of their voters voted for Brexit in the referendum in 2016, including a bigger proportion of Labour voters in the famous Red Wall, those seats in the north of England that they need to win back. So they don't want to give the impression that they want to reverse the Brexit vote. So they don't talk about it either. So it's left to the media. The FT has done a lot of this. I recommend, if anyone, your listeners are interested, an FT video on this subject called The Brexit Effect, which has millions of views, setting out very clearly the impact of the Brexit on the British economy.
It's excellent, and I've had a look at it. I know it's been racking up the millions, as you say, since it was released. But it will be very difficult for the British government to deny the facts here on the economy, particularly when you see that the British economy will be an outlier now amongst other leading global economies, even if you look at what's likely to happen in the euro area. GDP growing by 0.1% in the last 3 months of the year. The outlook for the world economy from the IMF report that we're looking at showing that the outlook for other large nations, it's just not as bad as people feared post-COVID.
No, it's a toxic mix for the government. I say it's very difficult for them to conceal the effects of Brexit, though, of course, you know, it is fair to say that, you know, there are other specific UK factors at play here. It's not just to do with Brexit. But the problem is there's this sort of poisonous sort of narrative entering the bloodstream of the governing Conservative Party over here, which is that Brexit hasn't failed, it just hasn't been tried. It's the thing that people used to say about communism. And therefore, the argument runs that the government, Rishi Sunak's government, is not pursuing the red-blooded pro-Brexit policies that the people imagine when they voted for Brexit, including cutting regulation, cutting taxes. In fact, the kind of things that Liz Truss tried to do until she was beaten back by the markets. So the papers over here today are full of Tory MPs saying it's time to cut taxes, cut regulation, even though, you know, we've tried that once. Yes. It was a disaster just 6 months ago.
And you said at the beginning that that attempt has had a direct impact on what we are seeing today in this outlook.
Yes, it does, because, I mean, there were some people in that very difficult time who refixed their mortgages at much higher interest rates than, you know, what they expected, because there was a big spike in gilt yields. That has receded. The pound has recovered some of its losses. The gilt yield has gone down, the government's borrowing costs, that is. That's good, but economists say there has been a sort of knock-on effect of a sort of shaking of confidence in the British economy and the political class over here, just at a time when we really need to be rebuilding confidence.
And the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, made a big statement, didn't he, a presentation last week on his plan to address the economic challenges. Since then, and it has been analysed, and people have found that there wasn't much detail in there, a lot of ambition, but not much on the policy.
No, he's got a budget coming up on March the 18th or March the 15th, I think it is, where he'll have to do an awful lot better because, as you say, that speech was panned. He had four themes and four E's in his speech, which, if I can try to remember them, I think were sort of employment, enterprise, education, and everywhere was another one.
Everywhere, yes, that was the last one.
It was taxed on, sort of, you know, so that would be nice. And there's a lot of business people came up with a fifth E, which was empty. And I think he's conscious of the fact he's going to have to do a lot more to satisfy. In fact, he's meeting Tory MPs this afternoon in what could be quite a difficult meeting.
So is that why you see those headlines where the Tory backbenchers are coming out now and calling for tax cuts because of what he didn't do in that speech?
Yes, I mean, this is a recurring theme. They think that they aren't impressed by the sort of growth measures that Jeremy Hunt's talking about, which, frankly, are quite incremental and will probably take quite a long time to have any effects. And the thing is that the Conservative Party has ruled out some of the measures which would give an instant boost to the economy, notably introducing a looser migration regime, so we get some more of the Europeans who don't come here anymore coming into the UK, or removing some of the planning restrictions. I know you have planning restrictions in Ireland as well, but they're very onerous in the UK, particularly around big cities. Again, something that Conservatives won't do because it would mean building on green fields. So there are a few shortcuts they could take, which they've ruled out. And then they're sort of left thrashing around a bit, trying to find out what could it be. And they've alighted on these tax cuts, which, as we've discussed, they tried to the point of destruction just in September.
They're in a very difficult place. I was looking at the footage of Rishi Sunak at his presentation yesterday, where he was talking about increasing the number of ambulances. And he was being asked constantly by journalists about Nadeem Zahawi, understandably. And the shot of him on the stage showed him and a caption up in the corner which said, stop the boats. And he's talking about Tory party sleaze. It's a politically very difficult spot that they're in, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he's come in, you know, to be fair to Rishi Sunak, he has stabilised the political situation after the chaos of Boris Johnson and his trust to a certain extent. But the problem is we're probably 18 months out from an election. The backdrop for that election is economically bleak, as we've just been talking about. And he's coupled with that, he's got a number of ministers, including Nadeem Zahawi, Dominic Raab under an investigation for bullying. He's the Deputy Prime Minister. A whole load of cases where, you know, that dreaded word sleaze is coming back into fashion, something that dogged John Major in the dying days of his government back in the 1990s. And, I mean, essentially there are two ways the Conservative Party could go here. They could sort of recognise that 2023 is going to be a really tough year, show some nerve, get in behind Rishi Sunak because he's the last best chance they've got, and hold their tongue and just get behind him. Or, which I suspect is a slightly more likely outcome, they recognise that defeat is staring them in the face, discipline breaks down, and you get into a self-fulfilling cycle of a sort of doom loop, really, where they head for a very bad defeat. So it's a very sort of pivotal moment, I think, for the party.
George, always good to talk to you. Thank you for taking our call today. George Parker there from the Financial Times. Coming up next, the mystery of the disappearing buses.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.